that if the Word of God challenges you, then be that one that will take it to the Scripture. And see that it's so. And if you're that type of person, what the Scripture says, you will believe. And second, be that type of person that it matters what God says. Because I'm going to say this again. It matters to God that it matters to you that it matters. Boy, that's a lot of matters. What he says. Did that make sense? It matters to God that it matters to you that it matters what he says. Okay. Now we can take a text. Praise the Lord. Let's go to John, the third chapter. I'm just going to start reading the 17th verse. You know, John 3:16. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. If I know what's on my heart, if we get there, sometimes we don't get there. If the Lord take us there this morning, we're going to speak of seeing Christ as he is. That's, in a sense, what was on my heart last Sunday morning. And I actually thought that Brother Kenny was going to preach the night service. And then he had some plans and some things, miscommunication. And so I'm glad the Lord visited us last Sunday morning. And I trust this is not just trying to store up the manna, but I just say that was upon my heart, seeing Christ as he is. But last night, as I was up here reading, and then this morning, this passage of Scripture came to my mind. And this 19th verse, we know that Christ didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. The world was condemned already. We have to understand that if Christ didn't do a thing, if God didn't make another decision, the world was condemned already. Damnation was the future of humanity and is the future of all those that love not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But the Scripture says he didn't come to condemn, he came to save. He came to deliver. He came to rescue. And I, very young in the Lord, I'd had that, I call it a night vision, a dream, an experience where I saw that trainloads looked like cattle cars, box cars with open tops of people, packed with people, just streaming down the tracks and socializing and carrying on. And I was standing on top trying to get people out and telling them that it wasn't a game, that we had to be real, that the Lord was coming, and to no avail, as that train, as I saw the coming of the Lord, and saw that train run out of track, run out of land, and plummet into the abyss, just tumbling over and over, and the cries of the people, first in disbelief, saying, well, no, but I believe, disbelief that this could happen to them, because they said, I'm a believer. This can't happen. And yet, before that experience was over, it was in unison, the sound going up in despair. But I believe. And that's supposed to take care of everything. Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to get them out of the boxcar. He didn't come to run it off the cliff. He came to reach down and lift them up. He said, I've come that you might have life. But this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world. That wasn't the condemnation, that light had come. Don't you listen to what the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. That was the condemnation. It's important to note that the people that Jesus was speaking to were religious people. Most of them very dedicated people. We know who the Pharisees were, the very strictest of people. The Sadducees, the religious elite. Probably in our day, if we was going to relate it to our time, the Pharisees would be the fundamentalists. How many consider yourself a fundamentalist? I probably didn't like that remark. But the Pharisees would be the fundamentalists. The Sadducees would be the old line, what we call the old line, liberal hierarchy, the wise. They were the two sects or main sects of religion or sides in Israel. And these were who Jesus was speaking to. But he said, this is the condemnation. It's not that man was lost. That's not the condemnation, because God sent his Son to save. It's not that men were sinners. That's not the condemnation, because he sent his Son to save sinners. And it's not that sin was in their heart. That wasn't the condemnation, because he came to purify the heart. He came to give a new heart and a new spirit. And that was his purpose. So those things were not the condemnation. The condemnation, he says, is that light has come and men love darkness. I'm going to talk a little bit about light and darkness. Sometimes we maybe over-spiritualize things. People think of darkness as sin, iniquity, ungodliness, perversion. But that's not darkness. Maybe works of darkness, but that's not darkness. You know what darkness is? It's the reason you can't see. That's darkness. The darkness of the Jews was Moses and the law. That was their darkness. It was all the religious things they trusted in was darkness. And that was the darkness they loved, and it was the reason they couldn't see. The light that was come was Christ, the light of the world. In him was life. The life was the light of men. And the light was that, and I'll say this and just the simplicity hit me, was that allowed them to see. Turn off these switches, the electricity to these bulbs, and we sit in darkness and you can't see. Turn on the switches and the light shines and you can see. And I want to tell you the first thing about that light. It doesn't change what's in here. It doesn't change how things are, but it lets you see, and darkness takes away that ability to see. And so there are situations that some people love darkness rather than light. And I was thinking about this. You know, I've seen people clean house by turning off the lights. Have you ever seen house clean that way? Huh? That's the way they clean house. Turn off the lights. If you can't see it, it's not there. I knew a little boy, Tony Charity's boy, Samuel. Y'all remember Samuel, little redheaded boy? He'd get in a group of people, the commotion be stirring him. He would stop wherever he was, middle of a room, and he'd just stop and close his eyes. He closed his eyes. He was calm. And every trouble went away. No one intimidated him. Nothing worried him. He'd just stand there and close his eyes. And you turn out the light, and all the troubles go away. And you can't see
What is troubling you? And that's what the little boy was doing. Just closed his eyes, and I said that. That's the way some people clean house, turn off the lights. And I know that's not your way of cleaning house. And I know this. I know my wife. It doesn't matter the lights are on or off. It bothers her. If she knows it's messed up, it bothers her. Are you like that? I know Sister Surface is like that. And I know a lot of you folks. And I don't. It bothers her. Hey, light or no light, she's seen what's there. And she's going to make it right. And I'm not going to preach this morning, cleanliness is next to godliness, but cleanliness is pretty good. But that was the difference between light and darkness. I'm just bringing it down to its simplicity. Is darkness caused that they couldn't see? And light caused that they could see? And you would think everybody would love light. I want to tell you something. I was thinking about this. How many have ever walked in your house and it's dark, or walked in your room and it's dark, and you know you saw a man right behind that door? Huh? You ever done that? You know that's all done, and you flicked on the light, and it was a hat rack, or it was a box sitting on a counter. You know you saw a snake. You flipped on the light, and someone left a belt laying there. You know how that the light and the darkness obscures everything. And sometimes in darkness, the reason people love darkness is you can tell yourself anything is what you want it to be. Karen and I, it's been years. I've bravened up just a little bit over the years. She'd hear a noise. We live in a two-story home. She'd go, check it out. I said, you go check it out. What if someone's coming up the stairs? What you going to do? I'll show you what I'm going to do. I take the pillow, I put it over my head. I'm not going to see anything. I'm going to be all right. As long as I can't see it, it's not there. That's what Jesus was dealing with. He spoke. He said, I'm the light of the world. He spoke. It was John, the 15th chapter, 22nd verse. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. I want you to look at that statement. He didn't say, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they would have thought sin was all right. He said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. And it was in their eyes. Of course we know they'd had sin. Jesus rebuked them. For they kept everything perfectly according to Moses and tradition. He says, but the inside is full of excess and extortion. But until he came and spoke unto them words that no one else had spoken unto them, because they lived in religious darkness, they said, it's all well with me. Why? Because the light was turned off. There was no light. That commandment that said, thou shalt not, was not light. It didn't reveal their estate. It didn't reveal where they were. It just gave them a commandment. And if they kept the commandment, and so they could feel like if the song had been written then, it is well. It is well with my soul. And so that's what Jesus said. He said, if I had not spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. I mentioned Karen and probably many of you. We're working on a building in Shepherd. Something's out a quarter inch. I said, Brother Surface, it's not going to make any difference. Brother Pippin was there. He says, nobody's going to know it's there. I said, you're wrong, Brother Pippin.
He's going to know it's there.
It troubles him. We work all day long out there. I come in, you know, he's 75 up on a 16-foot scaffold welding. He was bragging to someone the other day. Not bragging, bragging on the Lord. I'll say that, telling them, you know, that the Lord's blessed him with strength. You know, I was up on the 16-foot scaffold the other day, and their reply was, well, that just shows that you're not as smart as you used to be. But I'm tired. He's tired. Those are working tired. I go home and sleep. He goes home and that quarter inch bothers him. He'll say, son, I was up all night long. I was running. I figured the way we can fix this. I said, I'm sleeping all night. But Jesus said, since I've spoken to them, they have no cloak. It didn't matter if you turned the light off. They had seen that it was there. He showed them what it was. They could no longer feel it when they sang, "It is well." I preached in camp meeting in Rock Island last week. I've shared a little bit of my testimony. Being raised in the house of God, you know, the one reason I never surrendered to the Lord, I didn't need Him. Now today I understand that's an absurd statement. I understand that's a self-righteous statement. I understand that's a statement that'll damn anyone that believes that. But as a young man coming up, a teenager, I didn't need Him. You can ask anyone that knew me, I was as good as anyone around and better than most. Is that true? I didn't need Him. Let them preach about drunks and harlots and whoremongers. They couldn't touch me. I believe there was a day God said enough. I can argue with God. Let them preach what they will. I believe there was an hour God said, I can't stand the stench anymore. In just a short period of time, I begin to spiral. Until I came to the place that I became everything that they had preached about. And I'm not going to go into those things this morning, just to share this one thing. I used to sit in the nightclubs. Without going into detail, a lot of you know, knowing why I was there, knowing what I was looking for, knowing the crowd that was there, I could sit at a bar, listen to me, and straighten people out about God, because I knew how it was. Today I understand I didn't know anything. I knew Scripture and doctrine. I didn't know anything. But you could be there for the most ungodliness of reasons, partaking of the filthiest things. And I always shared this. It reminds me of the absurdity of it all. But there was a song that used to come on. You know, the DJ would play. And I've shared this before. I don't believe that heaven waits for those who congregate. You know what that means, those who go to church. I like to think that God is love. He's down below. He's up above. He's watching people everywhere. He knows who does and doesn't care. Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good philosophy. I want to tell you something.
You could sit there with the most ungodliness of intentions and hopes. You've just listened to them talk about sleeping with your best friend's wife. The next song, you're getting drunk all night. You can't stand on your feet. The next song, you woke up with somebody and you can't quite remember her name. But then you sing, before you go home, I like to think that God knows who cares and who doesn't. And all of a sudden, everything is removed and you just feel so spiritual. I will offend somebody with this, but why do you think that most every country singer has a gospel album? To make them and those that listen feel good about the filth they have poured out. But as long as we end up just a closer walk with thee, amazing grace, and you feel spiritual, why? The songwriter said it well. Because you have God like you like to think that He is. You like to think He's this way. At camp meeting in Rock Island, I preached good service, and a couple ministers cornered me after, and this and that and this and that and question. They said, one thing you said that I'm going to have to chew on. I said, it's okay to chew, just swallow. He said, you said there was no scripture in the Bible that says Jesus paid our penalty, took the penalty for our sin. I said, there isn't. He talked, I said, you know, I said, I can show you, I could spend all day long telling you what the scripture says He did, and you'll never find that. Here's what he told me, and I'd preach that. You know, I like to think about God. He said, you know, I guess I was born believing that, and I guess you're not going to change that. You know what he just told me? It doesn't matter what God says. I prefer to have God as I like to think that He is. Because I can feel spiritual when I have God like I like to think that He is. You know what brought me into despair and then repentance? Is when God let me know He was nothing like I liked to think that He was. I'll tell you this. Anyone that says, and you listen to me, that says, I believed something all my life, and I think I'll believe it when I die, has not justified themselves. They've spoken the words that will judge them when they stand before God. You say, well, why is that? Because God didn't tell us to believe what we believed all our life. He told us to believe what He said. They loved darkness. Why did they love darkness? He said that the deeds were evil. And in darkness, no one could tell and they couldn't tell. I'm never going to get to where I thought I was going to get this morning. We've had Sister Jackie has been diagnosed with cancer. Keep her in your prayer. How many can be moved with compassion? I do remember something. This has been 20 years ago. I was in a camp meeting service. Brother Surface was preaching. He asked the question. He said, someone, as we've seen,
I told someone the other day, I don't understand. I've seen God do great miracles. I've sought God and not received the miracle. I don't understand those things. But he pointed out, he asked the question. He says, why is it that someone can stand up and say, my body was ravaged with cancer, but the Lord touched me and healed me and took it off. And Sister Rhonda had that testimony. Not ravaged. She had cancer and they, two or three times they confirmed it. They're going to the surgery doing one more test. And she knew the moment that the Lord touched her and took it away. And she told them, do your test, but you're not going to find anything. And they came back and they said, it's not there. And they stand up and say, I had cancer, but the Lord touched me and He took it away and I'm free from cancer. And everybody in the house goes, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God. And I suppose you could give that testimony in any church in the land and people would shout with you. But you let a person stand up and says, I was ravaged with sin. It was in my heart, it was in my mind, it was in my nature, but Jesus touched me and He took it all away and I'm free from sin. And people go, that hypocrite, that self-righteous Pharisee. So Brother Surface in that service said, why is that? When the Scripture, though He says He's our healer and He can be touched and is full of instances with Him and we've seen His healing, never said that He will take all your cancers away. You know, He never says that. But it does say that He'll take all your sin away. And He asked that question, why is it that they can rejoice anywhere, any church over this, but you talk about God taking your sin away, and people say, oh, how self-righteous they are. He didn't answer the question. Young man from out of town came to the surface. He says, Brother Surface, I know why. He says, why is that? He says, because they don't have cancer. They do have sin. And for someone to say that Jesus did this is like someone flipping on the floodlights and it begins to shine in the hearts. And everything within is saying, turn it off! They loved darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were evil. Why? The Scripture says, because whatsoever makes manifest is light. When the light turns on, you see things as they are. And that's just the simplicity of light. When the light turns on, it's not that you see things how you like them to be. I put that pillow over my head, and whatever's making that noise is not there. But the light turns on and you see things as they are. He said, but they loved darkness. He said, turn the light off. Don't preach that. Don't say that. Don't read that. Do you love darkness or do you love light? Do you love the truth? I've had the truth strip me down. I've had truth make me mad. I'm talking about God's truth. I've had it make me mad. That day, in the thick of my darkness, I'm destroying everything. We're working on a roof. Brother Surface is telling me about someone that got saved. And I'm laughing. I'm snickering on the outside. I'm hee-hawing on the inside. He heard the hee-haw. He looked at me. He says, your problem is, son, is you don't even know if there is a God. I don't know if anything has ever made me more angry in my life.
How dare he question my faith? Filled with lust and uncleanness. I'll just say this, looking for an opportunity to break any and every vow I'd ever made in my life. But if God hadn't stopped me, I would have. But how dare he? Oh, you can't imagine how mad I was. Question my faith. I've got God just like I like to think that He is. And me and Him got a good thing going. You were public enemy number one. And perhaps the best thing anyone ever said to me in my life. And God took that prick and drove it deep so that He could save me. But it wasn't long He brought me to the place I knew God wasn't like I like to think that He is. God is as He always has been and always will be, and none of my thinking changed at once. And I knew I needed to come to Him and find out how He is. They loved darkness. Doesn't matter what God says, doesn't matter what the Scripture says. This is just the way I like it. That's the way they liked it. He turned the light on anyway. I'll tell you this. This is what I was hoping to get to. This light of the gospel. I said light. That is really simply how the Scripture uses light. It just lets you see things as they are. Darkness, and you can't see. And the law was darkness, their religion was darkness, and so much religion today is nothing but darkness. And therefore, you can clap and rejoice and feel good. And me and the man upstairs has it all worked out. Why? Well, because it's dark and we can imagine anything to be any way we want it to be. But the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, is different from any other light in this one respect. It lets you see things as they are. That's why they hated it. But the light of the gospel will let you see Christ as He is. And the Scripture says that if you see Christ as He is, you will be like Him. Scripture says, we all with open face beholding into the glass the glory of the Lord are changed from glory to glory into the same image. That's why we preach Christ as He is. As you've heard so often over the last couple years, who He is, what He came to do, He did it. And it will work in everyone that trusts in Him. We seek. And when I say we seek, because we seek today, God, Lord, open my eyes to that which I've not seen. It's not enough to say, Lord, well, I've just believed it this way now for a decade or two. Open my eyes. That we may show Christ as He is. Because, Mike, the light of the gospel won't just show you the way things are. That's what light does. But if it shows you Christ as He is, and you will look. See, Jesus talked about those that wouldn't even look. Their eyes they have closed. put the pillow over my head. They won't even look. But to that one that will look, and see Him as He is. The Scripture says they are changed into the same image. That's what changes a sinner into a saint. It's not the law. It's not how to. It's not doing the best I can. That's not what does it. It's seeing Christ, lifting your eyes, opening them. You can sit in Calvary Outreach Church for a decade and sit in darkness for one reason. If you refuse to open your eyes. Be that little boy standing there, closing his eyes, and everything that troubles him disappears. Or you can be one that says, I'm going to look, because it is what the Word of God says. I'm going to lift up my eyes and I'm going to look. And be that one that is transformed by looking into the face of Jesus Christ. Holy God. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Blessed Jesus. Kind of a sober message this morning. I thought I was just going to touch and go. But I'm going to end up with where we started out. Does it make a difference to you what the Word of God says? That we could be free from sin. And I'm going to tell you, because it matters what God says. Brother Milton, Sister Irene, they both passed. Walked in this place. I believe the church they were going closed, and the pastor they knew, Brother Kirby, recommended they come over here. Set a couple services. Sister Irene told Milton, said, those two men are as crazy as what, Bessie Bugs? Why? Because they say Christians aren't sinners. Because the Word of God says it. And they say you can be free because the Word of God says it. And they weren't going to come back. Except that they couldn't deny that the Word of God said it. How many have seen a child in a conversation, someone's telling them something they don't want to hear, and they start going, la 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 la, la 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 la. Not all the time, but sometimes in preaching, I can see the spiritually, the fingers and the ears and la 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 la. Jesus said, that is the condemnation. And I'll say this again as we start, not that you were a sinner. That's not the condemnation. He died for you. He died for me. That's not the condemnation. It's that God said you can be free, and someone begin to echo that. Just say what God said. And in our dignified way, we went, na 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 na, na 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 na, na 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 na. He said, that is the condemnation. That is what offends God. Do you love the truth? You see, the truth, well, I've spoken to you the truth this morning, because I've spoken to you what the Word of God says. But the truth is not the truth because I say it. I'm just telling you what He already said. And it's the truth because He already said it. Love the truth. I've argued with Brother Surface over things he preached because I love the truth. You say, "What? How does that work?" Because it mattered more to me what God said than what He said, and He was going to have to show me. I'm not as neat as my wife. Not by a long shot. I'm not that perfectionist on that building. That quarter inch still doesn't bother me. But what God says matters to me.